Okay. Good evening, everybody. וישלח יעקב מלאכים לפניו אל עשיו אחיו ארצה שעיר שדה אדום. Jacob is sending angels in front of him to Esav, his brother, to the land of Seir, the field of Edom. So everybody is asking, are we really talking here about angels, real angels, or messengers? And the question here is very interesting because it's not so simple to send angels. Why? Because even here, now and today, there is a question if you're allowed to send a Kohen to do delivery for you. Or, for example, if he works for you, to tell him to clean the toilet. It's a question, it's a halachical question about if you're allowed to use a Kohen.
Say to my wife.
I'm not going to go to the whole discussion.
Say to my wife.
My research just did a study and he found out they're Kohanim.
Yeah.
Marty's a Kohen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you found out.
But he was a Levi.
Was he one before?
No, oh, he was nothing.
Nothing.
Was he a Israel?
No way. Yeah.
So,
oh my gosh.
How could that be?
His father was. Father's father died when he was 3 months old. He left 11 children. They had no time for anything and they weren't that religious. And he didn't know who he was. He didn't know he was a Kohen.
Say, but how he discovered now?
Edo, my grandson, sent one of these to find, because one of the graves that his sister's grave, my father's sister's grave,
a Kohen.
Said Devorah Bat Kohen.
Oh.
So he decided to do
interesting.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
Okay, unbelievable. So, if you have a question about using a Kohen today, so definitely you will have a question, how is it that Yaakov can use angels, which are really the servants of God? And there are a lot of answers. One of the answers says, it's not real angels.
Right.
It's angels in the meaning of messengers.
Messengers, right.
But, you know, we see that Yaakov is meeting all the time with angels. He's meeting angels, they're meeting him, he fights with an angel, and etc., etc. So, most of the people say, as Rashi says, Malachim Mamash. They are real angels.
Right.
Now, why is he allowed to use those angels? And this is very interesting. Because who are those angels? If we go back with Yaakov, and we remember the dream of the Sulam, the ladder, Malachei Elokim Olim Ve'odim Bo, the angels of God are going up and down on this ladder. And we explain that those are really the angels that are being made from the good deeds that we do. In other words, those are really the angels of Yaakov. And he is doing good things, the good things going up, and then coming down and deliver all the good to this world. Unfortunately, also it works to the other side. If there are bad deeds, so bad angels are being created. And then at the end of the parasha, Vayifge'u bo malachei Elokim, and the angels of God meet him, who? Yaakov. And God says, and right afterwards, the same parak, by the same chapter, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav, in front of him. What is in front of him? So they say those are the same angels that met him in the last parasha. Vayifge'u bo malachei Elokim. Now, who are those angels? If we want to go on with the angels from the letter, those are the angels that are really the creation of who? Of Yaakov.
They were on dream. They were down already. They were going up.
There are the good deeds that he did. And from every good deed that he did, that was created an angel. Mm-hmm. So definitely he is allowed to use those angels because they are his own angels. Okay. And this is a big lesson for all of us. That
if you
do good things, we are creating angels, and those angels are escorting us and going in front of us, and they're going to speak for us up there
and guarding us.
And guarding us. Malachav itzaveh leshomrecha bechol drachecha. So it's a very interesting issue.
That's the same Tefillat HaDerech.
Yes, also. So. You say also, also you say. So then there are also explanations that to send to Esav normal people wouldn't help anything. He even might kill them. So this is why he's sending angels, because he's got no other option. Because he sends normal people who knows what Esav is going to do to them. So the
so
Shlach HaKadosh says...
What form do they have if they sent angels? Could Esau see them?
Course,
as a person, disguised
yes,
as a person?
The angels can have a figure. And that's why we see that some people see those angels. So they must have a figure. And
A body.
When the angels came to Avram, they looked like Arabs, like right. people.
What did you say? One was black.
We said then that we said that the angels, there was one explanation.
One was a
sailor and one was an Arab guy. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah. They looked like human beings. So he's sending those angels to Esau. And the Shlach HaKadosh says that when we look in our parsha, we see that there are a lot of doubles. In other words, there are sometimes things that have double meaning, which is very interesting. If you want to learn diplomacy, I think it's one of the places that we can learn diplomacy from Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu, he is coming to his brother and he's telling him in Pasuk,
see if the lens are good or not.
In Perek, what Perek is it? Lamet Bet. Pasuk Lamed.
Gimel.
There is
no Lamed Gimel.
Lamed Bet. No, it's not here.
No, that's Perek Lamed Gimel.
No, this is the fight with the angel. We get to it, we
so
get back to it.
In
1 minute, sorry, it's not this. Okay, Perek Lamed Gimel. Perek Lamed Gimel. Perek Lamed Gimel. Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Ten.
מה זה? למד גימל מה?
פסוק 10, פסוק יוד.
פסוק 10.
אוקיי, ויאמר יעקב,
אלא,
אם נא מצאתי חן בעיניך, ולקחת מנחתי מידי, כי על כן ראיתי פניך, כראות פני אלוהים ותרצני. What is he telling him? What is the translation?
If I find favor in your eyes,
then accept my tribute from me.
And as much as I have seen your face.
Yeah, go ahead.
And as much as I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face
of an angel,
a divine being. And you are at peace
okay.
to me.
So what does it look to you? He is really, how do you say it in English? Mitchanef elav. How do you say
he's flattering him.
He's flattering him.
He's
and,
sucking up to him.
Yeah. I didn't want to say this word, but...
So no, I said it. I
before he, but it's true, before he speak with him, he doubt 7 times or 10 times.
Okay, so it looks like this Yaakov, he's something trying. Is wrong with him. How do you... what do you make of yourself in front of your this Russia?
Flattering.
But... when you look at Rashi, we say that he says that he is really telling him to Esav, you know, when I came on the way, I met your angel and I fought with him and
I won.
In other words, don't even think about starting with me, because I saw your angel and I dealt with him, so definitely I can deal with you. In other words, what is he like? On the surface, he's telling him, oh, you are like an angel. But really is telling him, you are like the angel I met before, and I dealt with him, and I could and I fought him, and I won the war, so don't start with me. Also, he is telling him, when he meets him,
no, they may stop asking why he sent me all the things.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just first of all, I want to show you a few places where you see that there is what is being said is not really what you mean. Or in other words, there is a
what he says is not really what he means.
A double meaning.
It's a double meaning. Yes. Where is it?
But did he have one intention to do something and said something else?
No, he's being very clever. Let's go back to the beginning of the parsha. When he's sending the messengers, the angels, he's telling them, when you meet Esau, what do you tell him? Im Lavan garti va'echar ad ata. Im Lavan garti, I lived with Lavan, and I came now. In other words, he's telling him that the blessing from Yaakov didn't happen because I was a ger. I wasn't a master, as our father Yitzchak blessed me. I've been in the house of Laban. I suffered. I wasn't exactly a master. Mm-hmm. I was maybe a slave of Laban, a servant or whatever. I served him. So the blessing didn't happen, so you don't have to worry. But then there is another explanation. Im Lavan garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. Because garti is the 613, which is taryag mitzvot. So he's telling him, really telling him, I've been with Laban, this Russia. And he couldn't change my mind. And I kept the Torah and kept all the mitzvahs. In other words, you cannot start with me because what did Yitzchak said? When I'm going to keep my spiritual level, you cannot do anything. You're going to be underneath me. Only when I lose my spiritual level, then you can do something. So I'm telling you, I've been with Laban, and I kept my spiritual level. So you cannot deal with me. So again, a double meaning. And when we take Garti, it's also very interesting. Garti is Gimel Resh Taf Yud. Im Lavan Garti. And he says, Gvir lo itkayem bi. Gvir lo itkayem bi, says the Midrash. Gvir lo itkayem bi. B, when we take from Gvir the B, Gimel, Bet, Yud, Resh, take the Bet, Yud, B out, what do we get left?
Ger.
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 Oh.
Ger.
Oh, he's a Ger.
He's a Ger. Mm-hmm. And so again we see a double meaning. Also, when he says, Atzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav, save me from my brother, from Esau. Also again, we all know who is his brother. He's got only one brother. So it is Esau. So he can say, Atzileini from Esau, or Atzileini from my brother. And if you already want to say that your brother Esau, that could be okay, you want to say brother Esau, it's no problem. Say, Atzileini miyad, achi Esau. Yeah. Why is the criterion again, miyad? Save me from my brother, from Esau. Save me from my brother Esau. What do we need again, miyad? Atzileini miyad achi, miyad Esau. I can say Atzileini na miyad achi Esav. The miyad, we don't need it. But then we understand that here also we're talking about two figures or double meaning. Because Esav can be Esav HaRasha and he can be a brother. So the problem is,
he doesn't know.
Who is he? He comes with 400 soldiers. So it looks like he's an enemy. He wants to come and kill me. He's Esav HaRasha. But maybe he comes as a brother. And by the way, this is why he's dividing the camp.
Yeah.
In front he puts people with no weapons, like in peace, because he doesn't know. Maybe Esav comes in peace, and if I put people with weapons in front, he will start a war. And he came with peace. And then maybe he comes to and he wants to fight. So, what's going to be? So the other camp, behind the peace camp, is ready to war. And if Esav comes to war, the first camp goes to the sides, and the camp behind comes out and fights with Esau. We see how
he's very
a tactical guy is. This guy is not. This is Yaakov Avinu. He knows how to deal with things. Now, let's understand what he's saying. Atzileinu miyad achim miyad esav. Because what is his great worry? When if Esau will come as an enemy, or if Esau will come as a brother,
like a brother,
it looks like. His a brother, words. Because that's the first thing he put in there. First of all, save me if he's going to come as a brother. Yeah. By the way, that's what happens.
Yeah. But why save me if he's going to come as a brother?
Oh, that's the question.
Oh,
that's the question. So,
didn't realize.
Yes, that is the question. Because if we think about it, when Yaakov and Esau were in the womb of their mother, they were fighting. And the minute they were going near our Beis Midrash, Yaakov wanted to go out. And you remember I told you, somebody came and asked a very interesting question. Why is Yaakov wanting to leave the womb of his mother while an angel is teaching him Torah? Because we all know the Midrash that says that every baby is being taught by an angel the whole Torah.
Before he
comes to this world. Then, he hits him and he forgets all the Torah.
Get a lot, right.
And my brain says he hits him and it goes from his head to his heart and that's when he knows he's a Jew. He was 5 years old when he said that.
I didn't understand.
So
he says that the angel hits him. The Torah is in his head.
Oh, and then it goes to his heart.
So now let's see. If the Torah is being taught by an angel, this must be the best teacher in the world. So why does he want to leave an angel teaching him Torah and go out to learn Torah from a human being? You know why? Because his partner is Esau.
It's poor what?
His partner is Esau. He learns together with Esau. And if your partner is Esau, you have to get as far as you can from
him. Chavruta.
Yes, because a chavruta like this is mituta.
So they were really fighting.
Dying.
They were really fighting before they were born.
Mituta. Yes. So now we start to understand. Yaakov knows that if Esau will come as a brother, a loving brother, and they will have to live together, the influence of Esau Varasha is going to be destructive. It's going to destroy everything he built. He's not going to have a Jewish home. He's not going to have Beit Yehudi. He's going to have a house like he saw before with Laban, and a house of Esau. And that's definitely what he didn't want. And he was worried from this more as an enemy. Because with an enemy you can fight. And you know the enemy's got his opinion, you've got your opinion. But if he's your brother and your friend, you join together and your opinions sometimes are connected. And if he's corrupt, the influence of him is going to get to you also. So, by the way, Esau tried to go with him.
Yeah.
So he said, no, no, you go.
Yeah, I have.
After the hugging children. And the kissing, he says, you go, I've got children. And then I go slowly. I'll meet you on the way. Yeah. And then he says, you know what? I leave a few people with you to help you. No, don't need anything. Yeah. So, unfortunately, we see during the generations that really was our biggest problem.
A big mistake.
Yeah.
Because the minute that our enemies become our friends, we got this influence and we got corrupted. And this is exactly the whole idea of Hanukkah. What was in Hanukkah? The Greek came with the light of the culture, music, comedy,
sport,
Olympic Games, all the beautiful things of this world.
Philosophy.
And wherever they came, everybody received them with open hands because they brought the culture to this world. But when they came to Israel, suddenly they found that not everybody wants their culture. And this is our fight. Because Till, but of course, the problem today is that it really is our brothers. Yeah. This is really our brothers that are so influenced by this Greek culture, but the Western culture, they're so deep in it that they try to convince us that that's the way. And we sometimes fall for it. Yeah. Not seeing the real light or not wanting to see the real light because, you know, we are flesh and blood. We live in this world. We have desires. We have lust. And Yetzer Hara is with us all the time. And when somebody shows us a beautiful thing and he tells us that's the beauty of life and it is nice and it's enjoyable, you are tempted. It looks nice from the outside.
And still Yaakov was sent, even though they knew that the home of Laban was...
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Because in order, that's exactly, that's the power he's got now. Because in order to have the power to fight the influence, he had to build the Jewish home in the worst place in the world. Because now, he knows how to deal with those problems. Because if he wouldn't have been exposed to the house of Laban, he couldn't deal with it. And unfortunately, that's what's happening today. Because somebody who is not exposed to the Torah, it's not exposed to the spiritual world, is very easily
influenced
by this beautiful, physical, materialistic world. And it's happening all around us, all the time. So how do we fight this? We learn Torah. We look at what Yaakov did and realize that in order to keep our way, we have to have a distance between us and the others. And unfortunately, it's not only the going today, it's also our own brothers, brothers and sisters, that go in the wrong way. And you have to find a way how from one side you don't fight with them, and from the other side you don't let them influence you, which is very difficult. And we see how difficult it is. When we look around us, and we see, we talked about it, we talked about Shabbos, that they're now starting buses on Shabbos. And we talked about it, that they asked the mayor of Tel Aviv if he wants Shabbos to be like Tuesday. And he said, definitely not. I want a Jewish Shabbos.
Who said he said that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard it with my own ears.
Okay.
So, and then I decided that from now on, if I have a halachically question about Shabbos, I'm going to ask the mayor of Tel Aviv. He is going to tell me what is a Jewish Shabbos. That's just showing you. Mm-hmm. They think that they know what's good. They think that this world is only from the outside. It's like I told you before about this guy. He comes the first time to a movie. And he goes in and sits, and suddenly the lights go off. It's dark. And he sees those figures on the screen. And he doesn't understand. Why do they look at them in the darkness? They put light, they see much better. So the next day he comes again to the movie with a big torch. And the minute it's getting dark, he is lighting up his torch and lighting the screen. And what happens?
The screen disappears.
Everything disappears. And everybody is shouting, turn off the light! And is it really not what we say? Is it really not we think that we live in a movie? And we think that all the things around us, that's the real world. That's not the real world. It's Alma de Shikla. The real world is the next world. We are here only on a passageway. And we have all those temptations. But it is so real. It looks so real, this world. Yeah. That we sometimes think that that is the world. We want to stay here. We want to enjoy life. We want this.
But
that's not why we're here.
But we're allowed to enjoy it now.
Of course. 1 minute. We'll get to it. The Torah doesn't want you to suffer. But the Torah wants you to know that you are in a film. And if somebody lights the light to see the real picture, look at the real picture. And the real picture is that those who run after the temptation and do whatever they desire, they are the slaves of their desires. They are not free people. Do they really enjoy life? Look at all those great figures, all those great singers, all those great pop musicians, and all those great actors. Every day you hear drugs, suicide, psychologists. Do they enjoy life? They're on the top. They have everything from the materialistic point of view.
But
they got nothing.
Nothing, that's true.
Because the soul is empty. And this is exactly our fight. This is the light of Hanukkah. We light the candles in order to take the light out to the street and light the darkness. The darkness that sometimes looks like light. That's Yetzer Hara. It's like, you know, it's very interesting. When you go to a pub.
Pub.
A lot of light in the pub. Have you been in a pub once?
No.
Never?
No, there is no light.
There is no light.
No light.
No light.
Why is there no light?
In case you see it.
Because you see it.
What is the fight? No, the fight of Yaakov with the angel of Esau. Look what's written there. In Perek Lamed Bet.
Lamed what?
Lamed Bet. I hope it's Lamed Bet. Let's see in a minute. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Pasuk Kaf Zayin. 27. The fight with the angel of Esau. Look what's happening. Vayomer shalcheini ki ala ashachar. You have to send me away because it's morning. I can only survive in the darkness. When the light comes, I have to go.
Why?
You know what's going to happen when you turn on the light in the pub? You know what picture you're going to see? If you're going to see this picture, I think you will think twice
to enter
a pub again.
Yeah.
Why? Wow, there's smoke and there's...
Smoke, and dirt, drunk.
And smells.
Smell. Doesn't look nice,
ugly
believe
people.
Me. Believe me, it doesn't look nice.
No, ugly people.
You look, no, look at yourself. If you drink... And you get drunk, and you start vomiting, and whatever. Look at yourself in the mirror. You're going to be disgusted.
Disgusted.
You're going to be disgusted.
Yeah.
Because it's not a nice picture, but that's the real picture. Mm-hmm. So, but in the dark, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they will turn on the light in the pub, people will stop drinking. And they will stop talking nasty. And they will stop doing what they're doing in the darkness.
As others see it.
And we all know, in the dark, we do things that we won't do them in the light. If nobody is seeing us, we do things that we won't do if somebody is seeing us. So in other words, the light is showing us the truth. But the truth means that I have to wake up and changing my ways.
And sometimes when doesn't
and nobody wants, and a lot of people don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So they tell this guy, turn off the light. We want to see the movie. We want to go on living the movie. We want to go on with this darkness, nice darkness of running after all our desires and doing more and more physical things, materialistic things. Running after the money and all the other stuff. That's the fight with Esau. Unfortunately, we see it through the generations that the minute that the Jews got the influence from the goyim and got involved and mixed, what happened? All the terrible things happened.
But some of them say that some of my best friends are not Jews. And if the Jews are all going to lob him and they do this and they do that and they do this, that's how they
People
do.
Say a lot of things.
Yeah.
People also say that we don't have to be here. We all have to go back to the countries we came from. People say a lot of things. It depends how you look at history also. If you look at the history of 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, or you look at the history of 3,000 years or 4,000 years, then the whole picture changes. Now, who is the one to decide when history starts? The Arabs? We were there before them. So the land belongs to us. Historical, not only spiritual. Historical, this land is ours. You can dig in the you dig all every time they find more and more things about Jews that lived here many years ago, before the Arabs even thought about coming here. So who does this earth belong? To Am Israel.
Yeah.
But again, this is our fight. You look only on the surface. You look only on the outside. If you have a short sight, that's what happens. And if we go on with our Yaakov Avinu, which is really this is, I think, from all the figures, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Yaakov is really the one that we can learn so much from him how to behave in this world. He is really this one who gives us the basics of surviving as a Jew in this world. He fights with Laban. He fights with the angels of Esau. He deals with Esau. It doesn't go with him. You know, after all this hugging and kissing, which is also unbelievable, I talked about it yesterday, which is also very interesting. Think about it. This Esau comes, he wants to kill his brother. That's what he wants. He comes with 400 soldiers, killers. And from the other side, you have a family.
Children.
And children. And cattle. They are no match for 400 soldiers. So this is going definitely to end, not in a nice way. And then, they approach each other, and Esav runs. And we wait for the minute that now he's going to stick the knife in Yaakov, and it's all finished. And suddenly, he hugs him and kisses him. And the Midrash says that at that minute, he loved Yaakov. They say, Ba'alacha, Ba'yadua, she'esav sone le'Yaakov. Esav hates Yaakov. But at that minute, he changed. Why? What happened?
And not because he sent him all these presents, but sure. Because if you had somebody...
I saw a very interesting idea. Oh. He says, let's take two people, put them on a psychology couch, or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And one is this rich guy who enjoys life. He's got everything. And he knows all the things about this world. He's got nice clothes. He goes on holidays. He's got nice cars. He's got everything. From the other side, we'll put
the Yeshiva
Bocher. Spiritual guy. Who do you think knows more about the soul? About what really is a human being? You would think this guy. He knows everything. He's been everywhere. He's done everything. He enjoys life. He goes all around the world.
It's experienced.
But the real truth is that the one who knows the soul and knows the human behavior better than anybody else is the Yeshiva Bocher.
How?
Yeah. Because he fights with Yetzer Hara all the time. He deals with him. He knows exactly what desires is and how you fight the desire. What is good for your soul and what is bad for your soul. The other guy, he only looks for satisfactions. More satisfactions. He doesn't care what's on the way. He doesn't stop to think. Is it good or is it wrong? If he wants the cake, he eats the cake. He wants to smoke, he smokes. He wants drugs, he takes drugs.
But yeshiva bochus do that too.
Not this one who is sitting on the couch.
You better hope not, unfortunately.
That's exactly what we are talking all the time. That everybody's got a temptation. Everybody's got a problem. You know, when we talk about what's happening in Yaakov and Esav, this is inside us.
Yeah.
We have it all the time. We have this fight. But in order to know how to fight it, we have to see the picture from the outside and take it to us. So there is a fight. And know Yaakov, that all his life was fighting his Yetzirah. He knows exactly how Esav functions. He knows exactly how he's going to change the ace of thinking. So he plays a whole game. As we said, he's got double meanings. He gives him presents. He is doing all the right things in order to change the mind of Esav. And who can do this? Only somebody who deals with Yetzer Hara, who stops and thinks, who is using his mind and connects it to the soul. Because all the other empty people, the only thing they know is
satisfaction, like the Rolling Stones says.
So, yes, that's what they know. And they finish one, they will go to the next one. If they have $1 million, they want $2 million. In other words, they are so busy with running after their desires and their lust that they don't even understand how it's going to end. And unfortunately, we know how it's going to end. We see it all around us. You know, I can never forget this when especially I saw it in Turkey and Istanbul, when you go into the airport and you have those cigarette boxes and they smoke there. And it's written like, letters like this: cigarette kills. And you see them all standing with all the packages and buying. Would you see somebody going, sees something, it's written poison, and he takes it and drinks it? That's what they do.
You can see here in Rwanda, right on underneath the sign that says no smoking, there are people standing there smoking, and there are a whole lot of cigarette butts on the ground.
This is Esav. That's exactly the point.
Can I make your question?
Yes.
Why Yaakov is upset when Shimon and Levi do what they do to revenge Dinah's brother?
Revenge.
Yeah, revenge.
First of all, a very simple thing. They didn't ask
to avenge.
Together when the king and Hamor come and say, we want to get married with your daughter and this and that. And then they told him, no, if you, we can only mix with you if you make a circumcision. He was not together.
No. Well, where do you see if they were together?
I think so.
They did the whole thing by themselves.
No, but they came to talk with
him. No, what's happening here? Let's see.
They came to talk with Yaakov. Yeah, after they made
it. No, after they made it.
Yeah, but anyway.
Here, 1 minute. Here.
You can see.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I read it. They.
Yeah, the whole story starts with Hamishi, Ramadalit, no?
Yamedalit?
Perak Ramadalit.
Yes.
If you look, you see all the time, Vayabnu Bnei Yaakov Echem Vechamor. Bnei Yaakov, it's always Bnei Yaakov, it's not Yaakov, Yaakov is not there. And the whole thing is being done, from what we see, by Levi and Shimon. Ubnei Yaakov Ba'u Ma'ina Sadeh.
Yeah, but he listened about Dina.
Who listened? Where do you see that I talk with Yaakov?
No, here.
Where?
In the beginning.
No, Yaakov shama, and Yaakov heard, Kitime Dina Bito, Ubana Vayu et Mikneu Basadeh, Ve'echerish Yaakov ad Boam. He's not saying anything. He heard what happened. He doesn't say anything. No. He heard what happened, yes. What he did, the guy,
yeah,
to his daughter.
Yeah.
and he doesn't say anything.
Yes.
Till they come home.
Yes.
ויצא חמור אבי שכם אל יעקב לדבר איתו.
Oh, עם יעקב.
לדבר איתו. ובני יעקב באו מן השדה.
And when
כשומעם, ויתייצבו אנשים ואיחר להם מאוד, כי נבלה עשה לשכב ויוכל לא יעשה. וידבר חמור איתם, with who? With בני יעקב.
No, but the sons come from, and they listen.
Who?
The sons for Yaakov come from the field, yes, and they listen what happened, because yes, they didn't know.
Yes.
And Or HaChaim said that Yaakov didn't keep silence because he knew that the children will revolt.
No, so
he didn't say anything, but they heard.
Yes.
When they were talking.
So he's not involved.
But we're talking with him.
But who is ordering all those deals? Who is telling them to circumcise? Who is telling them? Yaakov?
No.
Yaakov is not involved.
No, lady.
No, Shema,
no, but what say in Perek Shmone?
In Pasuchet.
Vaydaber chamor itam.
With who? Not with Yaakov. Think for a minute. When you did something to the daughter of somebody, you're going to talk with the brother or the father?
With the father.
So it's itol, not itam.
So you're talking with the father, no?
No,
no. It's itam.
Itam, shneihem. Itam can be Yaakov and all these sons.
Why?
Who say that? No.
Not reasonable.
No, can
no,
say.
Not reasonable.
Why not?
Because you got to deal with the father, not with the children.
Yeah, but maybe they thought we know this.
Aval hu tzodek b'mashu, ki he says, Shechem, v'yedaber chamor itam lemor, Shechem b'ni, chashka nafsho b'vitchem.
Ma ze b'itchem?
B'itchem, ma ze b'itchem? Hu medaber im achim.
Abat shelachem, abat hazot, abat shel hazeh,
ze mashu rotsa. Ze yechol yot abat shel...
It can be a lot of things.
Abat shel Yaakov.
Okay. But he right. says it just means the female.
And
the female? No, the vitchem is habacha, habacha.
I read in this, not in
the...
Yeah, the translation is not good. That's why.
You read it, the translation?
He reads the translation in Portuguese.
Here is in Portuguese, but there is in English.
This is in English. Because it says, Hamor spoke with them, saying, Shem, my son longs deeply for your daughter.
Yeah, your daughter,
please
Shem.
Give her to him as a wife.
Nachon. Oh. And according to the translation.
In English, say, Shem said to Dina, father, and to her brothers. He speak with all them.
Yeah.
That's the second bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. May I find favor in your eyes? Whatever you tell me, I will do. I will give.
Yes.
Okay? So he spoke with Yaakov and his sons.
What's written here?
Yaakov's sons respond ingenuously to...
Who is responding?
Yaakov's sons.
Yaakov's
sons. But they were together.
No, but they were maybe together in the beginning.
The guy who raped her.
Maybe.
So suddenly Yaakov left.
No, it's not suddenly. They were talking about it. Yaakov didn't tell them anything because he didn't want to do it. Do you think that Yaakov is going to give his daughter to Shechem after what he did, his son?
Of course not.
Yes. Yeah, so he's not answering him. Who is answering?
The brothers.
The brothers, they come and tell him, you know what, let's do something. Because they want revenge.
Okay, continue. Okay, let's say. So he's broke because they didn't ask him.
What they did. What they did.
But what do you think Yaakov would do if they don't do this? He makes the packets and go away.
Till now, we saw that Yaakov knows how to deal with things.
Yeah.
And maybe his children should have let Yaakov to deal with it. Maybe he will find a better way to do what to deal with the matter, better than the children did.
Ask him.
And you see, the whole idea thing here, I didn't want to talk about it, but the whole thing is when you look what's happening later on,
They want to make him one people.
ויאמר אין פסוק למד, ויאמר יעקב אל שמעון, ואחרתם אותי לאב אישני, ויברך אותי, סלוני, ביושב הארץ הכנעני הפריזי, ואני מתי מסתר, ונשפו עלי הקונים, וישפט אני בביתי, ויאמרו, הכזונה יעשה את אחותינו?
Yeah, they answered
it. In other words, was Yaakov involved in what they did?
No.
So he told them, how dare you do this without telling me and do this terrible thing in a way that's going to put everybody as our enemies? That's what he's telling them. Acharte moti. So they are, you see, Shimon Levi are not exactly wrong.
Of course not.
You have to understand the story. It's not a simple story. It's complicated.
Yeah,
it's very complicated. Yes.
Huh?
The sons of Jacob, they are the one who is dealing and wheeling here. Dealing and wheeling. They answer, and Yaakov is not saying anything about this.
Because, of course.
Because he knows maybe, that in a...
Maybe he would agree to do
the
this.
Idea,
the only thing is... This is the question: why he is so angry? Because he blessed them.
It was wrong.
No, he doesn't say he's wrong. They are wrong.
You see what's going? You put me in an awkward position,
right?
Because
it's not only this. You have to understand what happened. Then they took the possession. They killed everybody. And what is he telling? The way Yaakov el beto el kol asher asiru et Elohei anechar shem tochem v'itaru. You are dirty. You took the idols from them. You took all the things. You shouldn't even touch them.
Yes.
If you were really thinking about the honor of your sister,
right,
you should have killed them, burn everything, and don't do anything with anything.
Right.
Okay.
So you took all the things from them?
Yeah.
So it's not 100% kosher.
Yeah. You took even the women and the children. They took.
What's it called?
Not only this, they took from them all the...
The idols. Because
he's more, telling them, you have to clean yourself.
More in the front, when they are leaving, to he said to everyone, purify.
So you see that maybe the act by itself, the idea, was right. Maybe.
But
the way it was being done... was definitely wrong.
What they did to take Surah. How do you say it in Hebrew? Shehem lachu.
Take advantage?
No, when they took the idols and they took the...
they took all the bush.
When you went, like if Saul, if they went to war, and
his name? Yeah, they went to that
Booty, bounty. In Hebrew...
Shalal. Shalal, you mean?
And maybe Shalal.
Yeah.
Lachush,
they took Shalal, yes.
The
Yivitamim
Lachush Shalal. Okay.
Shalal?
Yes, Shalal in Milchama, you take the Shalal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, if the idea was
it was
what happened to your sister,
this is
so what are they doing?
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Their motives weren't entirely...
It doesn't look kosher, let's put it this way.
Yeah,
it doesn't look kosher, that's what it is.
Wasn't the right way to behave.
Yaakov
wasn't the right way to behave.
No, exactly. Wasn't the right way to do it. And it doesn't matter if the idea itself is wrong, right or wrong. What they did eventually was wrong. The way they did it. See, Yaakov Avinu is not, he's not saying that...
the
idea itself was wrong. He's telling him, if Ashtemoti... What have you done?
He's not condemning it.
That's not the way to do it. There are ways to do things. And we see that Yaakov always finds the way, as we say, the diplomatic way to do it.
We need him now.
Tanya would
yes.
say that.
We have, that's what we learn. By the way, it's very...
The
Rabbanim, Doleado, when they had to deal with the Goyim, they used to learn those parshot.
Yeah.
To learn from Yaakov how to deal with the Goyim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Nachum.
This is a big... Everything he's doing is so clever.
Nachum.
The way he acts with his enemies. And this is why it's very important to learn and see what we can learn. For another interesting thing is that the way we look at our possessions, at this world, as we say, this is exactly the point of view. He comes and gives Esav big presents. And Esav says, I don't want to take it. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got plenty. And what is Yaakov answering him?
I have enough.
I have everything.
Everything.
Yes, we call.
Yes, we call.
Is somebody that's got everything? Nobody's got everything.
Of course.
I have.
Yes?
No.
What do you mean?
I'm content with my lot.
So what?
No, that's what Yaakov is saying.
That's what is Yaakov saying. Yes. And if we can achieve this level, we are like Yaakov. What Yaakov is saying, I've got everything I need. Yesh li kol ma shani tzarich. You have to add it. That's all. When he says yesh li kol, I've got everything, he means everything that I need. Not he's got everything, the whole world. No, I don't need the whole world. Whatever God gave me,
it's good.
It's good. Not only good, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Yesh li kol, I've got everything. Everything I need. Whatever more, as I've got Phil Kaplan, when you ask him how things, he says, if it would a little better, I would cut crazy. But that's the way to look at things. Esav says, I've got plenty, but you know what? Okay, give me more. So, but what was Yaakov saying? Yesh li kol. I've got everything I need. I don't need anything else. And this is so important to understand, to live according to this rule. Whatever I've got is the best thing for me. And if I believe in it, I've got no problem with nobody. Then this is what they say, Ezo Ashir,
Asameach.
We say, Ezo Ashir, Asameach Bechekon. Some people think
that
you said, I've got enough. No, that's not what it said. Not that I've got enough.
But you're happy.
I am happy with what I've got.
So that's not bad.
It's good. That's exactly the point. Not that I have enough. Have enough, you can have enough and be sad. Okay, I have enough. Okay, God, thank you. Okay. I have enough. Okay. No, Baruch Hashem, thank you, God, I've got everything. I'm happy because you gave me everything. That is Ashir Asameach Bechelko. Otherwise, you're never going to be rich. You're never going to be content. You're never going to be happy if you think you need more. But if you think you've got everything you need, then you're happy. And it doesn't matter if you have $2 million in the bank, or you have 2,000 shekels in the bank, or you have $2 billion in the bank. We all know people that are so rich,
but they're so sad, so poor.
Why? Because they're not satisfied from anything.
This is that I cannot understand the poor people from Brazil. They are always happy.
This is the point.
It's not only in Brazil.
You know, one of the things that hit me when I went to China is that in China you have this difference, which is unbelievable. You have on one side people that are filthy rich. You know, you can't even understand what I'm talking about. You know, you see the cars in Shanghai or in that. There is not a place in the world you see so many expensive cars. The most expensive cars you want. Sometimes special editions. Now, cars you don't see in any other place.
Oh, but they from are the made other in side. China, that's why.
No. You know, it's very. They don't buy anything. The rich people don't buy anything made in China.
It's not good enough for them.
It's not good for them. Italian stuff, only from abroad. And by the way, they are the most expensive place to buy brand name, real brand name, is China. The most expensive place in the world. And the most beautiful shops from the other side, you have the poor side. So you would think, with all this richness, the poor must go in the street like this. I go to this village. Like you see, everything is dead. They've got nothing. They're stepping on a rug.
They live with the pigs in the house.
They smile. So you see this guy is a chicken. What's this man? What have you got in your life? Nothing. Got this shade, a rug on the floor, no furniture. Eats this rice. Smiling.
They've all got that look. They all look like
they share a bathroom.
share a bath and they share a house with the
happy.
They live from
you cannot understand this.
They actually live with
but they smile. They're happy.
They don't know.
I don't know that they're happy. They may just have got stuck or something.
Yeah, they got stuck. The smile got stuck.
Something got stuck.
Yeah, so, you see, I'm sure that not everybody is happy. But when you see the way, it's a different culture. When you see the way you talk with the workers there, that some of them earn like really nothing. And they're happy. You talk with them, you see them. You see that they know their place.
They're working.
Exactly. No, you have to understand how it works. They know their place. It's a problem. You know, they know this is my life, and that's what I've got, and I never will get anything else, and I have to be satisfied with what I've got. That's it. So he's happy.
They haven't got any ambition?
Of course they have. But you see, that's the problem.
It doesn't matter from if they one have side, or not, they're not going to get ahead.
Those people. That's why, from the other side, you know how they learn there? They take it so seriously that you cannot even believe it because they know. If they don't pass the tests, that's what they're going to be. They're not going to have any chance. They're going to stay in the slums and they're going to be workers and that's what it is. Only if they be the best pupils in the school, they've got a chance.
Do they realize that? Sure.
Yes, they realize it. But the point is that the minute that they're stuck in a certain situation, they get into mood. You call it senile, you call it whatever you want. But there's a lesson to learn. Yeah. That at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you've got. It's how you feel about it. And we all know it. You know, if you're happy with what you've got, you can have millions. It doesn't disturb. And you can be happy. I'm not saying that everybody that's got millions is sad. And he wants more. No. Yaakov Avinu, he was a billionaire. He was a very rich guy. And he was happy with what he's got. He says, yesh li kol. And when he come to Shechem, vayavo shalem. Shalem, what's shalem? Shalem begufo, shalem bevamono, shalem. He came with everything he had. In other words, all the presents he gave to Esav, when he got to Shechem, he had it back. And he was very rich. And he got there with nothing. So if you look from this point of view, this is a guy, wow. Came to America with nothing and become a billionaire. This is a story that we all know. But that's not, that's Yaakov. That's Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov is telling us, yes, there's nothing wrong with being rich. It goes back for small things. Now this is an unbelievable thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable thing. The Midrash says he went back for small cans. Why, are you crazy or something? You've got so much. When he went like...
Yeah. Then
when he met the angel...
Yeah, when he fought with the angel.
Why did he meet the angel? Because he went back for something small he left on the other side. And what is the Midrash says? From here we learn, Tzadikim, Mamonam, Chaviv, Alehem, Migufam. Tzadikim, the money is more precious to them than their body. Did you hear what I'm saying?
But Mama Tzadikim.
This is the question. Why Tzadikim are...
You ask all the good questions.
More precious, yeah, than the body?
Just don't have any answers.
So it's either Tzadikim. They love the money more than they love the body. It so sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But when we understand what it's all about and what is this world, who gives us everything?
Hashem.
And if I did all the things I did according to Allah and God gave me what He gave me, how should I behave with something that the King of all King gave me?
So you have to be very careful.
Happy and how to use it. How to use it? Use it? In the best way I can. Possibly. Because who gave it to me?
The king
of all kings. I have to appreciate it. And show him the appreciation. And not spend it on nonsense. In other words, when I go and spend money, sometimes I am a sinner. Because I'm using money that was given to me by God to use it for what? For the good. For good things. And I'm using it for bad things?
Then they've sinned. Yeah.
This is wrong. And this is what the Torah is telling us. Why did he go back? Because this guy was working day and night for Laban. He's telling, in the winter I froze. In the summer I sweat. But, and I didn't do all what I could in order to keep the herd and everything in the best situation. Why?
He had a responsibility to God.
Because everything Yaakov is doing is according to the halacha.
Mm-hmm.
And if this guy is paying me to keep his stuff, I have to do the best job.
Mm-hmm.
No excuses. And I couldn't touch anything that is not mine. And if I have to work from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock in the evening, that's what I'm going to do. This is Yaakov.
And he's not a fool.
So in other side, Yaakov is really showing us how to use this world in the right way.
But then he went back because of pots, no?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, this is the point.
Yes, but what is worth this?
Because it's Hashem gave it to you.
So it's precious.
So you have to, you know, there are people that got a dollar from the rabbi. Lubavitch.
Yeah.
What did he do with this dollar? Did they throw it away?
It's
$1.
It's $1.
$1. Put it in a frame.
My cousin has
$1.
My son has enough frame.
Hey, I'll give you $5. Give me the dollar. Is he going to give it to me?
No.
Why? $1. Because who gave it to him?
The rabbi.
So who gave you all you've got? God.
So it's more than the rabbi.
It's more than the rabbi. So you spend money? So, yes, Yaakov is going for $1 back. Because the $1 was given to him by whom?
God.
By God himself. So if you look at this like this, it's not simple. When I go and spend money,
yeah,
I have to be careful.
Yeah, you better watch out.
So you cannot travel anymore to Eilat.
Why not?
You can travel. As
why
long
not?
As you know,
you
as
so
long as you know you... why you're doing it, and there is a good reason. And what is the reason? You need a vacation. You need a holiday to have strength. It's no problem with this.
And
you need
you, clothes
you
know
to be warm.
But you know that you've got to daven every morning and you've got to eat kosher food and you know what's your obligation. You could do it on holiday.
Not only you can do, you need holiday.
But yeah.
You need holiday. That's why you have to understand everything has to be done in the right proportion and from the right reason.
We went to an school. This man...
What?
Gave money to pay the school and everything. And a very, very rich man, my sister knew him. And when he wouldn't speak, but he sent his daughter to speak. And she said that he said that this money came from Hashem and I have to use it in the best way because it came from Hashem.
It's hard to understand it, but the minute you put things in the right place, you understand what it's all about. And I think really when we look at Yaakov, that's a great teacher. He's really teaching us what is this mixture of this world with the spiritual world. How you deal with both sides? Because Yaakov, with all the due respect, he got everything he wanted at the end.
Yeah, but he had something by deception. That's a problem.
What deception?
He was deceived.
This is also a lesson we talked about. It's also that's a lesson that sometimes in
this
life
is something I'm sure that was always.
This is a big lesson. It's the same lesson. It's the same lesson that we learned from what is coming going back for a few for a dollar. Because the idea is that sometimes in life.
He was deceived by Laban, but he got the whole thing through deception. I'm sure it was always in his head. And
what deception?
What deception?
The deception is...
No, what deception he has?
When he came to his father dressed
okay,
up
I have to I have to go, but we talked about it in the past. The deception was not exactly deception. It depends how you look at it from what side you're looking at it. Because you have to understand that. And sometimes in life, you have to do... That's exactly Yaakov. If you know that this is going to serve the right side, the truth, you have to do it. Sometimes it doesn't look from the outside nice, okay, but if the inside is good, so sometimes you have to do things in order to get the truth, okay, to get the right side.
But you still have to understand that it's something that was subliminally, subconsciously in his subconscious all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it's from